"So you found out about the Ezra Pound Foundation," said Rose Lauritsen, with a look that suggested I had uncovered a well-kept secret. "Not really," I said. "Tell me about it." "I can't," said Rose, "because for once, thank God, I don't know enough about it to blather on like an idiot and get it all wrong."
"The Ezra Pound Foundation," said Peter, "is, or rather was, a tax-exempt entity, the purpose of which was to promote the study of Ezra Pound and his works. Olga had often mentioned wanting to set up something like that to perpetuate interest in Pound, but the odd thing is that when she went ahead and formed this foundation, none of the people you'd have expected to be involved knew anything about it. Mary de Rockevilts, the daughter of Olga and Pound, was largely in the dark, and she is her father's literary executor. James Laughlin, the founder of New Directions, Ezra Pound's publisher since the 1930s, didn't know anything about it, and neither did Yale, where the bulk of Pound's papers are housed.
How did it come to light? I asked.
Well, the first we heard of it, said Peter, was from Walton Litz, who was my advisor at Princeton and a great Joyce and Pound expert. Litz often came to Venice to visit Olga, and on one occasion he came to see me and asked, "Who are these people called Rylands?" I told him, "Philip Rylands is the director of the Peggy Guggenheim collection. He's English. Jane Rylands is his wife, and she's American. Why?" "Well," Litz said, "it seems they've created an Ezra Pound Foundation, and Olga has given her papers and her house to the foundation." Rose and I were shocked, because Litz and Mary de Rockevilts had often discussed the idea of an Ezra Pound study center along similar lines, with Litz running it.
"What's become of the foundation?" I asked.
Peter drew a deep breath as if preparing to deliver a detailed explanation. Instead, he said, "Why don't you ask Jane Rylands?" As it happened, I had already met Philip and Jane Rylands. A friend had taken me to the Guggenheim collection one evening just after closing time to meet them over a glass of wine. There were six of us altogether. We stood in a gallery that had once been Peggy Guggenheim's dining room on the ground floor of Palazzo Venier, her home for 30 years until her death in 1979. Philip Rylands was in his mid-40s and on the timid side, I thought. He had a pale, square face with a protruding chin. Large glasses magnified his eyes, which, together with eyebrows that lifted at the outer ends, gave him a look of perpetual alarm. Jane Rylands was short, sturdy rather than petite, and had a firm face and light brown hair. She appeared to be somewhat older than Philip. They were cordial, but stiff. Several times, Jane murmured comments to Philip, barely moving her lips, ventriloquist style.